Welcome to BioTalk from biotechnics.com. Thank you for listening to BioTalk. I am Florence Blanchard. For this episode of BioTalk, I invited Gal Almoji from ETH Zurich to talk about synthetic biology. Gal Almoji, together with Gary Nolan from Stanford University, published a research report in the January 2009 issue of Biotechnics. In this report, they describe improvements they made on the STED system.
Natural biological organisms, you keep some processes extremely tight. They're very, very correct, but not all processes are extremely accurate. I mean, the expression of particular proteins can vary quite a bit between different cells. So the question is, how do inaccurate processes add up to one very accurate process?
According to Gal Almoji, the effectiveness of gene therapy relies on the possibility to one day control accurate spatial and temporal expression of exogenous genes in vivo.
In synthetic biology, we're trying today to create semi-sophisticated molecular mechanisms. So one very, very famous one is creating a cellular oscillator, so a DNA machine that would make cells express GFP every 24 hours and then shut it down. Every 24 hours it goes up and then it goes up and goes down, which is reminiscent of a cell cycle or a circadian rhythm. For example, you need an oscillator in order to set time, so you need something to happen every 24 hours. Let's say you want to do it in vivo and you don't want to control it with drugs from the outside all the time. In cells, it turned out to be extremely difficult to do, and despite many efforts, both in bacteria and in mammalian cells, the results are not very impressive, even though there have been achievements. My hypothesis was that the components we use are not accurate enough. And one component, one major component, is the TET system. Can we make the system accurate enough to be used in higher level systems, in more complex systems? Is the lack of accuracy disabling us from moving into more sophisticated systems? And this is kind of what I'm working on now. I'm trying to create I call it a decision module. So it's basically a protein that decides what state the cell is in, and according to that would take an action. So if the components are accurate enough, then you can imagine that you insert this component into a cell. The cell tells it, I'm a muscle cell, I'm a skin cell, or I'm a T cell, or I'm a cancer cell. And to all three, first three, it would say, okay, then I'm leaving you. And to the fourth one, it would say, I'm secreting some toxic molecule. And so it enables some kind of more sophisticated gene therapy one day, I hope.
The TET system is a method of inducible expression where transcription is reversibly turned on or off in the presence of tetracycline or its derivative doxycycline. Although it has been widely used in mammalian cells, this system has certain limitations that Gal Almoji wanted to address.
So what we tried to do in this paper is to enhance the functionality of the TET-regulated system. It's a traditional good working system. Now, the system has three main problems that we tried to fix. One is that leakiness of the system, so when you want it to be off, it's not completely off. It actually has a significant expression of the proteins that you want to control, even when you don't want them around. Second thing is that the kinetics of expression are quite long. So when you shut down an expression of a protein, the RNA is still there and the protein is still there, so you have still quite a bit of expression, up to 10 days in my experience. And when you use the TET system in vivo, the DOX concentration or the regulating drug concentration throughout the tissues is not going to be the same. So you may want to have a system which is less sensitive to the concentration of DOX and would not be activated just because a certain tissue is running out of DOX, which shuts it down, for example. So these are the three main problems we tried to solve. So the TET system is based on transcriptional regulation, which means that the mRNA expression is determined by the addition of drugs, of a drug, doxycycline. Now, what I added to this system was a system developed by Tom Wanless in Stanford University and Jerry Crabtree as well. And what this system does is it's a fusion. So you fuse your protein to this destabilizing domain. In the absence of any drugs added, the protein is very unstable and you barely see any expression. So if you tag GFP with this destabilizing domain and you put it on a constitutive promoter, you have very little expression of GFP. Now, when you add the drug, it somehow stabilizes, actually there is a mechanism, it stabilizes the entire molecule, so the fusion of GFP and the destabilizing domain, and what you get is a stable GFP. So this system by itself has an inducibility factor of about 20-fold. So you will see 20-fold more GFP when you add the drug in comparison to not having the drug. The TET system by itself has an inducibility factor of about 50. So when you add doxycycline, for example, you shut down the system and you see 50-fold less GFP than you would in the absence of drug. So what I did was add the component, the destabilizing component, to the TET system, and I added it to the two control points of the TET system. So one is the protein being expressed, which is the protein of interest, for example, GFP, and the other one was at the regulation level, so destabilizing the TET transactivator and seeing what effect does that have. Basically, when you destabilize the transactivator, what you have is a system that is very robust to fluctuations in the concentration of doxycycline, because unless you add the stabilizing drug, the system is not responsive to dox anyway. So first you have to stabilize the transactivator, and then you can control it with the doxycycline. So you add another level of regulation in what we call parallel fashion. So you control the TET transactivator on two levels. You control it on specific activity using doxycycline, and on expression level using stability control. And that really reduces the dependency on doxycycline and creates one more activation state for the system. So there's low, medium, and high. When you add the destabilizing domain to the protein you want to express, what you get is an amazingly drastic improvement in the amount of leak you get from the proteins you express. So if you use the normal TET system, you see a GFP level of about 50 as an average. It's arbitrary unit. When you add the system, you go back to expression level of about 6, which is equivalent to backgrounds, cells which don't have GFP. So it completely reduces the background, which is one fantastic advantage of the system. The second thing is that the kinetics are very much improved. So you take the shutting down the system, the TET system, takes about a week when you use just the regular TET system. And when you use our modified system, it takes about 24 hours to get rid of the entire GFP protein reservoir you have in cells.
When asked about his career goals, he said that he wanted to remain in the synthetic biology field. But Gal Almoghir also wants to help students and postdocs understand the academic job market.
So my long-term goals are to basically keep working on this concept of creating reliable components for synthetic biology. And I believe that one day we can actually make something quite useful with these components, because everything that a virus can do, we should theoretically be able to do. And since we can incorporate genes that we really want to incorporate into people, if we could do that with the reliability level of a virus, then we can have effective gene therapy and we can actually cure very many diseases. A second thing I want to do, and it's totally unrelated to this paper, is to create a database of academic groups throughout the world. So basically helping students find their next positions. It is actually a website. It's a funny name. It's Labtail. It's labtail.com.
The slogan on Labtail.com's homepage reads, "Finding a fit before you commit." The website allows you to anonymously fill a survey on your current lab. That information will then be added to Labtail's database. The site allows you to browse information about other labs provided by other users.
People can go and submit opinions by filling up a very short survey. So you fill like 10 to 15 questions, really basic information about your group. You can link to the group's website. The website automatically gives you PubMed publications of the person involved. It tells you about related labs. You can submit comments. You can. There's a map. It shows you where the lab is, what's there to do in the area. It just gives you an idea of where you're going to before you're actually going there. So instead of going to all the labs in the world that you find barely remotely interesting, then what you're doing, you can just browse through labs and post questions on the pages and see if anyone responds. Like, you want to know if people are required to work weekends in a certain lab, or is it important to go into lab at 9 o'clock, or can you play music, or do you talk to your advisor? Do you have to come up with your own projects? Do you have funding? All these questions. So if you fill the survey, it gives you these basic stats, and then potential students can go through these can go through this database and really fine-tune their lab choice.
That was Gal Almoghir from ETH Zurich in Switzerland talking about his research report from the January 2009 issue of Biotechniques. This report is available online or in print. For BioTalk, I am Florence Blanchard. Thank you for listening.